I wonder if you have this recollection too. In junior high school kind of time frame, recalling the fear-inducing task of where to sit in the cafeteria for lunch. As any high school coming of age, angst-filled movie suggests, this pivotal decision gives rise to twisted stomachs and evokes the fears of yesteryear. Who will you sit with at lunch? From Grease to Mean Girls, Footloose to Breakfast Club, Rebel Without a Cause to Fast Times at Ridgemont High. In a moment, I bet you are right there at the edge of the cafeteria, deciding where you're going to sit. Do I sit with the ones who come together for band? Or how about the kind of rebellious troublemakers over there? Do I sit with the jocks or with the nerds? Which table of niche do I find myself? Walking in, not knowing, not seeing folks you know, trying to navigate unfamiliar terrain. Do you remember those days? I can recall it, like it was yesterday. Thou preparest a table, cafeteria style, before me in the presence of my enemies, the ones I'm pretty sure are going to make fun of me as I walk through the valley of the cafeteria. I doubt the psalmist projected this culturally specific 20th and 21st century American high school cafeteria. But the shepherd who provides for the needs of the sheep allows us to kind of retrofit some spiritual truths into our own experiences. In the midst of that kind of lunch period, it's the same as the white-knuckle moments of middle age as we're trying to figure out how all the bills are going to get paid and what's left at the end. And maybe it's just the same as those quiet moments of loneliness when we feel utterly by ourselves. The good shepherd who provides what we need. I know if we took time now, there are profound testimonies among those gathered here of ways in which God has provided. And as I proclaim this morning this timeless and reassuring truth, I have to respond to a few other voices in the conversation. Sometimes we find ourselves wishing and hoping for even more than we need, deciding we could really do with a little bit more than we actually need, taking the grand leap from, I could get by with a little bit more, to, if I want it, God will provide it, and it's a sign of God's pleasure with me. That myopic vision that my needs and my wants are much more important than anything else going on in the world. We've often called this the prosperity gospel, the prosperity theology, that if I just pray enough, if I just serve enough, God will shower me with financial blessings and perfect health. In fact, as a society, we've been so shaped by this that we've come to think if we're not surrounded by bags of money, and quite frankly, which of us is here, maybe God doesn't love me. If I'm not completely pain-free, maybe I'm not living exactly as God wants me to. Friends, I hope you hear me this morning. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not what God, who loves all of God's children, has said. Our God has reminded us, we walk and work in a broken world in which people make free will choices. And in the midst of that, God says, I will provide for you that which you need. My hands will provide. God is in the habit of making abundance out of scarcity. But there's a twist. Did you catch it? That curious line about preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies. That gives us a sense of how God hosts God's people. It's not an anomaly. It's there on purpose. It's the standard operating procedure of our God. Those miraculous feedings are some of the best known of the gospel story. Whether feeding 4,000, 5,000, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Jesus provides what is needed. Out of what is offered, everything is taken care of. From a young boy's lunch, a whole community is fed. And Jesus fed the community. He didn't divide the crowd into those who already have what they need and those who are barely going to make rent this month. The crowd wasn't separated into conservatives on this side and liberals over here. It wasn't divided by those who like fantasy football and those who'd like to get out and do a Tough Mudder. Racially, ethnically, gender-wise, the groups had it all. Jesus fed a full community, complete with everyone who showed up. Sounds to me an awful lot like living out the church. The church not just for those who prefer the exact same kind of music to rock out to. Not just those who like to give their tithes and offerings in the same way. Not just those who prefer a quiet reflection during prayer, as opposed to those who want to put up their hands and say amen. Not just for those of us who like potluck dinner or catered meals a little better. Not just those who enjoy gathering together and those who get a little irritated if you get too close. Any of those are our limitations. And not God's. We end up being the ones who have been offended and offend. We're the ones who've drawn circles and said others are on the other side of that circle. We who've walked through high school cafeterias probably too many times have decided who sits at which table and who should be sitting in another room or another country or in another church. God not only provides what it is we need, but what our neighbors need as well. Regardless of whether your next door neighbor is indeed your closest friend or someone you hope moves real soon. That kind of table fellowship. Not the candle-lit table for two. That larger community is the kind of provision that God does. In a world where we're always looking for somebody else to figure it out and then offer it up to us, this is about living out our faith in the messiness of it. The radical act that Jesus invited with all at the table. Those who were diseased and those who were favored. Those who were outcast and those who are bothersome as well. Jesus knows what it is that you and I have need of and offers it to us even when we don't think it's what we need. We might find ourselves in this kind of a provision saying, this doesn't fulfill my needs. I want more. I want different. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. My needs are cared for. Throughout the biblical text, prophets are in the habit of anointing kings and priests, those kind of set aside for special responsibilities. But here's the thing about shepherds. All the sheep get the oil. Philip Keller, author of A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, says there's a time of year. It's kind of like what Friday was like, that hot and sticky kind of day. When the days get so dreadful that flies are kind of all up in the sheep. Days when you do anything for deep shade and the sheep are so bothered that they do anything to get them away. They itch their matted fur, wool against anything. The ground, a rock, the branches, each other. They even go so far as to bash their heads just to get it off. So what do the shepherds do? They have a concoction of linseed oil and tar that is poured over the head, that salves the itch and brings contentment. Thou anointest my head with oil. When I'm hangry and can't handle it anymore, thou cares well for me. My cup runneth over. See, it's in every way that the shepherd provides for the sheep. It's in every way that God gives us more than we need. It's almost wasteful, almost abundant, almost extravagant. Throughout time, we've heard the stories in community about how God has provided. But I'm not sure we always feel like a people whose cups are running over. If you think about that school cafeteria with the soft pretzel in one hand and the soda in the other, because that's what a high school lunch often looks like, it's hard to feel like your cup is running over. It's hard to feel like your cup is running over when you look at the end of the month and you've done food and gas and mortgage, and there's still other things below the line that didn't make it that month. Not knowing how to cover dental bills for a child or living with chronic pain. But it's not just an adjustment of pessimism that our faith is grounded on. It was two fish and five loaves that satiated a crowd. It's been the providence of God that attended to the needs of God's people. At each time, in each season, manna, milk and honey, maybe even soft pretzels and soda. God's providence multiplies in our lives. God's abundance knows no end. Henry Nouwen says when Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish, he was showing us God's love can multiply the effects of our generosity. God's kingdom is the place of abundance, where every generous act overflows its original bounds and becomes part, you and I become part of the unbounded grace of God that's at work in the world. So my prayer for you is that you might know the presence of the Good Shepherd, the provider, the abundant giver of all that we need. May the Good Shepherd call you to share the testimony of where God has done just that. And then, might God call you beyond to let your generous acts be the cup overflowing for all of our community. This, my friends, is the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.